I want to ask you about something that's new to college football this year, is the headset coach communication.
Oh, like, as a coach, I've had to learn a little bit, but I love it, to answer your question really succinctly. But I've had to learn, so listen, I can't be coaching you in between the reps, per se. If you ever get the chance, you got to ask Danny O'Brien about a story in the CFL. And I think in the CFL, that there's no shutoff rule.
Yeah.
And so they
get
this talk. Danny tells this great story about how he's like, he knew the pressure was coming. He knew it was going to be hot. And then right when he's dropping back, whoever was on the headset is like, look, throw left. Yeah. He looks left.
What's going on, folks? We are launching the Retain the Roar campaign here at State Media in partnership with Happy Valley United. This is extremely important to me personally and the entire program moving forward. I came to Penn State in some of the darkest times. I deeply care about this university and this football program. That is why I'm done talking. I'm going to lead by example, and I'm working to pull a bunch of other lettermen together to get behind this campaign. It is integral for us to participate in NIL, and not only participate, but dominate, to match the expectations that we all have for this program. We're in it to win championships, so let's put our money where our mouth is. I'm taking the first step. I hope that you all follow me. Our goal is to raise $500,000 to close this spring transfer portal cycle and ensure that we retain the roar.
College football tees, college basketball tees, whatever you need, Mercury has you covered with the best merch out there. We're talking about high quality clothing, inexpensive, and the best part is I have a 15% discount for everybody who goes and gets some right now. Use the code below, hit the link in the description, and go get your merch now. Use the code to get 15% off. What are you waiting on? Go do it.
What's up, guys? Welcome back. Trace McSorley. We got Christian Hackenberg here, and we got the new OC of Penn State football, Andy Koldenicki here. Appreciate you taking the time here, Coach.
Appreciate you guys having me. It's exciting.
Yeah, so, you know, we both went through OC changes from the player side. From the coach's perspective, just want to know, when you come into a situation like this, spring ball, what are the things you're really trying to get accomplished when you first get here?
Well, there's a couple things, and you guys remember back from your playing day, there's really two times a year that as a football player, you really only have to worry about yourself and your development, and that's spring football, fall camp. So to make sure that we don't lose sight, even though I'm new, right? Okay, there's new coaches, there's new systems and things like that. You can't lose sight of the fundamental development for everybody. And so specifically, you know, the position you play, what we couldn't do is come in and change all these things so that the fundamental development of key players that are coming back, you know, plateaus because they're busy, you know, trying to process things. So never lose sight of that, right, when you're coming into a spring. But then the second thing, kind of what you were alluding to or talking about a little bit, is when you're going in, and I think as long as you as a coach and as long as you as a program have an understanding or a really clear picture of what a player's capabilities are and what their limitations are, you can always figure out something to do that they can be successful, right? And depending, yeah, you know, on how big of a limitation it is or how big their capabilities are really depends on how big that package can be. But being able to go into spring football, focus on these fundamentals, install things that are new, you know, me learn terminology that they've been learning and, you know, done in the past, but then really be able to spend some time focusing on what they do well, it gives you a really good picture for what fall should look like.
Yeah.
You know?
So you touched on some great points and some things that I've heard you talk about in the past since you got here, and then we obviously chatted at Pro Day a bit, is you seem to be a major focus of who you are as a coach, how you present, how you talk to the team is as a teacher. And being around a lot of football coaches in my life, the higher you get up in this ring, ironically, it seems to be less of a focus. And it's something that I've grown to really appreciate of you, just hearing and getting to know you in a short period of time.
Appreciate that.
Where does that come from?
Well, it comes from probably, and of course, you know, as we all age here a little bit, and I'm in my mid-40s now, so I'm not that old, but old enough to have these kind of, right, you know, hindsight moments. Growing up, small town, playing a bunch of sports like a lot of people do, and I was in, I want to say, probably sixth grade. I grew up playing hockey, so I'm from Minnesota originally, right? So hockey's a huge deal. Like, you learn how to skate when you're like three or four. And so here I am, you know, over five or six, and I know how to skate, and I can skate around the circles and everything. And I'll never forget, and again, I didn't know this at the time. I'm sitting there, and I'm helping these little 3- and 4-year-olds, they call them mites, how to skate. And all I did was demonstrate how to, like, to do a crossover around a circle. And now, again, how many ever years later, I look back at that. That was, like, my first exposure ever, like, kind of teaching, to your point, somebody something, even though I wasn't really verbalizing how to do it, more just kind of demonstrating. And I was fortunate enough to, you know, be it in high school where, you know, that was small enough that, first of all, they let me be on the team. Right? Okay. Yeah. But I would be coaching, like, the little kids. You know what I mean? I'd be working little camps. And I went to a college, small college, Division III, Wisconsin River Falls. And we'd run summer camps. And this is back when summer camps were real camps. You know, like, yeah, today's kids, yeah, think the summer camps are just one day deal. I mean, I'm talking the old 4-day, you know, yeah, what I mean, real get
stay
better
in
football.
The dorms. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Right? And so, like, I got to do those all across the state of Wisconsin when I was in college. And it just started to hone, like, one, my craft of doing it, but two, really starting to figure out that I really appreciated developing people. Does that make sense? And so, like, seeing it at a young, and again, this is all in hindsight.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm, what I mean? 20-some right, years later after college, but, you know, because you're not doing those camps because you're like, oh, I'm really, you know what I mean, I really love teaching, but you just kind of what you did, and then you just develop a, you know, a knack for it.
It's funny you say that, because, like, I got into coaching a little bit as I got out and transitioning, and my grandfather was a head football coach for 30 years. I grew up around it. Like, that concept was awesome, but it almost came more so for me. Like, at points in my career, I felt like I had coaches and teachers, and something that you brought up, like, kids have something. All kids have something to give, especially at this level. Mm-hmm. And how do you pull that out of them? I've had moments in my career where I had coaches that, I'm not going to say gave up, but it's just, they shut down. And it frustrated me. And it was almost therapeutic for me to get into that situation and say, hey, I'm now going to pour everything I have into this 16-year-old kid and watch them make strides and how they react. And I think that that's the business of college football and the business of football in general has gotten in the way. And I think it's so cool when I hear somebody who's getting in this position. And now you're dealing with guys who are very, very talented and have gone through that vetting process. But it's just something that I really, really appreciate. So
I do appreciate the heck out of you saying that. I do that. And, yeah. I've been fortunate. I've coached every level of college football. You know what I mean? I can honestly say that I never got into this for the money or, yeah, or being, you know what I mean, doing, yeah, interviews and being in a place like this, which is really cool and flattering. But I still really enjoy just watching guys, you know, like, here's a concept that we're going to install. Here's how they're going to go. And then they make the mistake, and then we correct it, and then they get it right the next. Like, that's so rewarding still. And so, whatever. I rest my head at night knowing, yeah, that I'm doing it for the right reasons.
Right. That's fantastic.
So you hear Coach Franklin talk about it. He was actually just on talking about the relationships and this business being a relationship type business. One of the most important relationships I've always felt has been that relationship between the OC and the quarterback. How has that relationship been building with not just Drew, but with Bo and the rest of that room? You've talked about getting to learn each guy's strengths and weaknesses, but even just them as people, as, you know, men, not just players.
So it's been really cool because after me and Coach Franklin went through the interview process and you know, however long that took, the first people he had me reach out to were all the quarterbacks. And you can get a sense, and you know, your first impressions, yeah, matter, mm-hmm, a lot. You talk to all those guys and your first impression is so who they are, of genuine, sincere, down-to-earth people who really want to get better and help this place win. Like, and, yeah, that came off right away in the first 5 to 10 minutes of conversing with them, you know. And we didn't get into, you know, they weren't asking, you know, I don't remember very well, I guess, but they weren't asking questions like, well, what are we going to call this? And what are we going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they just want to succeed, and they know that there's so many ways to do that, and all they want to do is just get better. Mm-hmm. And so I've appreciated that. We're very lucky here. We got Danny O'Brien, as you guys know, and he does a great job working with those guys every day as a quarterback guy who's got professional, you know, experience in his own right and playing Division I football, and to help them, you know, from a technique and a QB standpoint. I know you guys have done it at a high level. There's something to be said about being in a situation where your coordinator just coordinates,
yeah,
and your quarterback coach is the quarterback coach. Again, having done it in the past, something always gives,
yeah,
when you call plays and coordinate while you're coaching position. And you got it.
Yeah.
And we're super blessed here to have Danny. But to your point, the relationship that we have in the sense of, do they know why we're calling these plays? Do they know, you know, the intent of the play? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm, this is the progression for the read, whatever it might be, or the run play. Do they know why it is that way? That's what we spent time in the spring doing with them. Do you know why I would call this concept over here? You know, yeah, to high-low the corner, or, you know,
yeah,
to get them to understand why those words are coming out of my mouth for them to go run the play, which is a huge step, to your point earlier, yeah, about how that can just get lost in the teaching process.
Yep.
Yeah.
You just start out, you start drawing lines and squigglies and say, well, your eyes go to this guy, and then this guy's coming back over here. And you're like, oh, okay, yeah, right? And then you just forget, hey, why did we even call this thing?
Yeah,
anyone can put up a play on the board and go, hey, you're going 1, 2, 3, 4 here, but...
What's going on, y'all? Christian Hackenberg with State Media in the Pocket. This segment is brought to you by Utz. Utz has a phenomenal line of potato chips and other snacks. We were fortunate enough to be able to enjoy them all weekend. They kept us fed and ready for all of these interviews that you all are about to enjoy. They've been a fantastic partner of ours, and we're looking forward to continuing to bring you guys exclusive content here at State Media.
As you said, that teaching aspect of the why, the how, you know, who are we putting in stress on the defense? What are we trying to attack? That type of stuff, I think, is incredible for the coach quarterback and that relationship to blossom and become very successful. Yeah.
And those guys have been awesome. I mean, all the ones you mentioned, Drew, Bo, Jackson, Grunkmeyer is here now, mm-hmm. Lambo, those guys, that room is really, they're a stand-up room. They're awesome.
That's good stuff. So from a football perspective now, you've gotten the ability to kind of settle in here a little bit, yep. Drink it through a water hose. What excites you about the depth of this roster? It's one thing I've talked about. I think that where this program is from where it was when we were here and just the overall development in terms of depth and talent accumulation is spectacular. And what excites you the most about that?
I tell you, there's a lot. I hate to use this term, but toys, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of toys for us to play with as an offensive staff.
Yeah.
And so that's fun. So we could be really diverse. And I challenge our players. I said, don't just be an X receiver or just be a running back that's in the backfield or just a tight end that has to put his hand on the ground or only flex out. Like, diversify your skill sets as a player, because that allows us to be so much more multiple doing some of the same things, right? And so when you add that component with the depth that you just mentioned at all positions, because when you look at every position, it's even funny. You say at least two names.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You say at least two names that every fan's going to know. And that's not like that in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, hey, this is the one guy. You know what I mean? And then you don't know the other guys behind them. But to talk about the running back room, tight end room, receiver room, the O-line, right, the quarterback room that way, I mean, there's a lot of toys to be able to play with. And the credit to the players and the kids, they've done a phenomenal job of wanting to just help us win. They know that they'll do whatever it takes. And I've been really impressed with that.
Yeah, that is awesome. Like you said, I never thought of it from that perspective. That you could probably say there's legit two, maybe even three guys at each position, and there's some places out there that they got one main dude on the entire offense. So that is awesome, and everyone's really excited to see it. I want to ask you about something that's new to college football this year is the headset coach communication headsets. How have you enjoyed working with that this spring? Has that been a transition, or how's that gone?
There's a learning piece to it that has to occur. And you guys have been there, so you were at the level. You know what I mean? You know what it's like to hear that and how that changes. And so, like, as a coach, I've had to learn a little bit, but I love it, to answer your question really succinctly. But I've had to learn, said, listen, I can't be coaching you in between the reps, per se.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But there's really cool things about the ability to communicate to them. Say, hey, I'm going to call this play. Don't forget, we just ran this earlier. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? You know, or like it's a lot of times end of game situations. You might just, hey, listen, if we don't have this out route right now, you just got to rip it out of bounds, man, okay? Like those little reminders at such, like, I'm going to call it a crutch, you know what I mean, to help the players know. But it streamlines communication so much. You know, we haven't spent any time worrying about disguising signals and stuff like that. I'm just, hey, here's the play, dude. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's awesome from that perspective. Yeah.
But it's been awesome. It's a smart thing to do. You know, and I've always just, we'll be able to use tablets now this year, it looks like.
Yeah. Right?
Yep. You know, stuff on the sideline.
You
know, and it's crazy because, you know, the NFL been doing it. High schools in certain states been doing it. And then in college
football.
It's crazy
that high school, I didn't know high schools
were doing it for like 2 or 3 years and like full video the whole night. I'm like, dude, this is.
And then here at college,
we had that weird.
You know, you can't even take your phone out. You know what I mean? And so it's kind of like, all right, well, now we're catching up, which is really good. And I think it's really helping the players. Yeah. But I've have to learn more about making sure that, you know, and I've talked to some, you know, NFL offensive coordinators about, wait, what do they do? What do they say?
Yeah.
You know, and the experiences of like, what, you know, what, when do you, when to shut up?
When to find that sweet spot. And that's where you said that relationship that you're building, like you get that relationship with the quarterback, and there is a sweet spot. I've had coaches where, you know, you break the huddle and they're still talking. You want to be like, I got it. Like, from this point, let's roll.
If you ever get the chance, you got to ask Danny O'Brien about a story in the CFL. And I think in the CFL that there's no shutoff rule. So they
go
can just talk.
And
Danny tells this great story about how he's like, he knew the pressure was coming. He knew it was going to be hot. And then right when he's dropping back, whoever was on the headset's like, look, throw left. He looks left. just smacks. It's a hilarious story, you know, about what not to do, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, don't ever do that again. You know, and I could imagine being there, all of a sudden you hear, you know, the voice of God in your ear. Yeah. Like, look left. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's just lit up. It's great.
So, you obviously haven't been here that long, but you've immersed yourself in this situation. And something that I've taken a lot of pride in my time here is just the history of Penn State. I was never a Penn State blue blood brought up. I was born in Northeastern PA, understood the everything that came into that. But if you were to look up a Penn State football player in the dictionary, the definition of a Penn State football player, what would that be to you?
Oh, what are they? Well, first of all, the first word that comes to mind is tough. Right, I think they have to be tough and gritty are the first two words that pop into my mind. But then when you think about the football that we're at this level, you think about like the commitment piece that has to happen at a place like this. You know what I mean? Like you got to be all in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you can't, one, to be a Division I football player in general, but two, at a place like Penn State where between the alumni base, the fan base, if you're not all in for what that means, that support, you know, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to work out for you.
Yeah.
Right? So that might be a very generic answer, but in my mind, really, and I don't know if someone asked me, and this was a true story about in my press conference about growing up with a helmet and the white helmet, and like, it was just total happenstance. And I saw on TV one day in the 80s, you know, the Penn State, and I'm like, I became a Penn State fan.
Yeah.
And so, and of course, in the 90s, and the names like, you know, Curtis Enos and LeVar Arrington, I mean, those names are so, they stick out to my mind. And you just think about tough people who are gritty, right? But now, having been here, the commitment necessary to like be a part of all of that, right? I mean, how many hundreds of thousands of people are so excited for Saturdays in the fall? Right? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's
every minute.
It's a huge deal. And you got to want that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Even just the amount of people that will be here on Saturday. Yeah. Like,
there's going to be 80,000, 90,000 people here.
Yeah, let's be real. Like, no win or loss is here. Like, it's not going to make a difference in the fall, but they said there'll be 80,000, 90,000 people here, excited, ready to come see you going. So that's all I had. You got anything else?
No, I'm good. I appreciate it, Coach.
Well, you guys have been awesome. I appreciate your support. And I do mean this. Like, the Penn State community has been very welcoming to myself and the family. It's really cool to be a part of it.
Great.
Yep.
Appreciate
we love
you.
It.
We're excited.
Awesome, guys.